All of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Tell you what I'd like for you to do. Here we go. Lord, help me this morning. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, that is not what I have up on the screen. But I just think God would have it this way. In my mind, I'm trying to run through passages that I'm familiar with, places in the Bible that I know. And so you give me a minute to kind of get ready, put some things together. Amen. Colossians, I think we're going to be there. So those of you with a phone or a tablet, have some kind of Bible search thing ready, because I've got verses in my mind. I can't really think of where all of them are. All right, I found that one. That's good. So if I say, hey, where is this, that where it talks about this, you guys can pull that up and take me right to it. All right. This is Memorial Day weekend. I used to think that America thought pretty much of me because I was born on Memorial Day. Used to be May 30th. Okay. And then some politician had to go change it to the first, was it the last Monday of May? So now it's not on my birthday anymore, hardly. But it is, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and tomorrow is my birthday. So, remember me, okay? Keep me in your memory, all right? All right, where did I say first? 1 Corinthians 15? All righty. Let's look in, boy, there's a lot of places I could go to here. Yeah, I'm going to pull up Romans 5 too. Just be ready to turn in your Bible. I ain't going to put nothing up on the screen, so you better have brought a King James Bible with you today. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at verse 19, okay? This message is about, let's see here, the captain that fought the war. That's not a good title. The captain gave his life. There we go. Christ is the mighty captain. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming, that would be us. Verse 24, then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all his, what's that word there? Enemies. Till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. I want you to take your Bible now and go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. When we get there, we're going to pause, we're going to pray a little bit, and I'm going to ask God to help me say what's in my heart, help me say what's in the Bible, and I just want to give honor. I want to give honor to a man that died out on the front line of the battlefield, and that man's name was Jesus Christ. So Revelation chapter 19, and you just hold your spot there, and we'll preach. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord God, I love your word. I love what it says. I love our Savior. I thank you, God, that we serve a mighty captain. He was not just somebody that went to military school and showed up without having to know any battle to take charge. Lord, he was on the front lines the whole time. He was the mighty captain of the armies of the Lord. And there isn't anything that can defeat him. And we find out from scriptures, Lord, that he defeated all of his enemies, even in his own death. He defeats his enemies. And yet, Father, we know, God, that today, the world that we live in, there are still enemies that must be defeated. We also know from scripture, God, that Christ is going to come once again and put all things under subjection to him. He is going to rule until he has put all things under his feet. And the last enemy, Lord, that we have is our own death. Father, we remember those, we pay tribute to those that went out in order to fight an evil enemy, in order to fight a King George, in order to fight an Adolf Hitler, in order to fight those who would rain terror upon American soil. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that volunteer, that sign up. We thank you, God, Lord, those that stand to the front, take on the mission, are willing to lay down their lives for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And Lord, we know that when you give some men freedom, Lord, they're going to turn it to lasciviousness, and that is what's being done in this nation. But Father, there are still those of us who, when we have the freedom, Lord, we understand and realize that that freedom was not free. That there are some that went out and paid the price for that freedom. They paid it in their own blood, paid it in their own sacrifice. And Lord, how high a price that is. Some of the best young men, Lord, that would have done great things back here at home, never came home. And Father, we serve a captain who yielded himself to you. Lord, he descended down to our state and took on our enemies against whom we fight. And he lives to fight again. And Father, Lord, put it in our heart to honor such a man and to say to him, Lord, whenever you're ready to do battle, we'll be right there with you. Lord, bless this message. God, I don't know how to preach this. Lord, you're giving me scriptures even as I'm going through this, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would just bless your word today. We thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered here. Thank you, Lord, for those that are online. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for America. It's because of what you've done here, Lord, that we have the ability to do what we're doing today. And that is preach the gospel every place in the world. And Lord, there are people that live right now in some very dangerous places. And they want to read the Bible and they want to know what it says. Their liberties are taken away and they stand in danger nearly every day just to be able to believe and to speak what the Bible says. And Father, we honor those as well. Father, just help me preach today, I pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. There in 1 Corinthians 15, we see the nature and the character of Christ. I'm going to be all over the place, so you just try to run and keep up with me, all right? Take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to understand who Christ is. He is many things. He's the high priest. We know that he's the great high priest. We know that we have a high priest who is touched with our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be us. He knows what it's like to suffer pain. He knows what it's like to have shame placed upon him. He knows these things. We have, he is the Lamb of sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the mighty angel of the Lord that makes his appearance all throughout the Old Testament. He is that prophet that was spoken of by Moses, that was recognized by the woman at the well. He is the great bishop and the shepherd. He is the chief apostle over us. He is the lawgiver, and he is the lawkeeper. Every office that you find in the Bible, Christ is the chief of that office, including, and I believe this, including the armies of God himself. Does God have an army? Amen. Why does God need an army? For the same reason that our nation needs an army. It needs a well-trained army. Our nation needs a well-trained army, a very well-fed army. Amen. A well-disciplined army. Our nation needs a well-armed army.
Amen.
Did you see that new cannon they got?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Doesn't use gunpowder to send out its projectile. Uses a massive amount of electromagnetic force. And this thing shoots out. I think it has like a 120-mile kill radius. This thing can pierce through both sides of an iron ship and keep on going looking for the next one. I mean, it's a bad, bad weapon. Amen? Do we need something like that?
Yes.
You better believe it. You better believe it. You see, when our nation is weak, our enemies will always know it, won't they?
Yes.
They won't pick on us while we're strong. They'll pick on us while we're weak. And that's when they'll come after this. And you take some knowledge from this, because I'm telling you, you've got enemies. And your enemies will always come after you when you're weak, and never, never, never when you've got a cannon that'll shoot through 14 ships. Amen? You got one of those carrying around on your side, ain't nobody going to mess with you.
Amen.
But when you're weak, they will come after you. And right now, our nation is weak. We need a captain. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 13. This is right before now, right before they're going to march around Jericho. Guess who's going to show up and lead them and fight the battle? Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld. There stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Listen, I think that's Jesus. I think it is. I think he's standing there, and everybody wants to get this idea of Jesus, that he's this pacifist, that he's this anti-war protesting peacekeeper, that Jesus would never harm a fly. Fully on that.
Amen.
He's standing there with a sword in his hand, and Joshua recognizes that he's a soldier, and he doesn't know whose side he's on. And I'm sure Joshua's going, I hope he's on our side. I hope he's on our side. I hope he's on our side. Amen. And that's what he says. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? That's one of the reasons why I believe it was Jesus.
Yeah.
Any of these other angels, when somebody falls down before them, they go, get up. We're going to get in trouble, okay? This is Jesus. And he said, verse 15, then the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That was the Lord Jesus Christ standing there with a sword in his hand. And let me tell you something. When they went out that next day and they compassed Jericho for one day, blowing the trumpets, and then they stopped, Jesus was right there in front of them. Day 2, walk around Jericho. Day 3, walk around Jericho. Day 5, 6, and on the 7th day, walk around 7 times. Blow those 7 trumpets. That wall falls down. And Jesus is going, yee-haw! Let's go get them, boys! Amen?
Amen!
They're trespassing on your land! I gave them this land. And the captain is going to lead them. Back in Revelation chapter 19. Turn there. Revelation chapter 19. If you were smart, you kept your place there. I won't say you're dumb if you didn't. All right? I won't say that. Revelation chapter 19. You see, we read there in 1 Corinthians that Christ will reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, it is manifest to us right now that not all of the enemies have been destroyed. Christ came the first time, took on many of our enemies upon himself, but the job is not done. He is coming again, and he's going to fight the battle that needs to be fought, and he is going to conquer the enemy to you and the enemy to I, and that is death itself. And if you've ever faced death, if you've ever lost somebody that you cared about, death is your enemy. Somebody say amen. Amen. I hate it. I hate what it does. I want it destroyed. I want to live in a land where there was no more death going to come into it. I don't like losing loved ones. I don't like losing church members. I don't like losing people I care about. And I can't wait for the day that he comes back and destroys death. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. Now I want you to watch this now. We need to preach this message and send it to the Pentagon. Amen. We need to teach a bunch of fat generals that work in there, sit down with their medals all over their chest, smoking their cigars, making little deals with munitions company and this and that and the other, and saying, yeah, I think we ought to do this, draw this on the map. Hey, you guys go out there and do that and come back and be back by dinner time. That's not somebody I respect. And our Pentagon's full of it. I want you to see this example right here. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. By the way, there are images all over the world of mighty generals, mighty captains, George Washington. They usually are pictured on a white horse. Okay? Either like in a memorial painting or a statue of some kind. There's even a way, I don't remember what it all is, but if you see a statue of some conqueror on it, there's a way that you can tell by the horse whether that person was killed in battle.
One foot off the ground, he was injured in battle.
Okay.
1 foot off the ground, he died in battle.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Thank you for that, Wayne. If the statue has one horse's leg off the ground, he was injured in battle. If he's reared up on his hind legs, he was killed in battle. He was just standing there. Obviously, the horse wouldn't move, and he made it through. All right? That was a joke, by the way. The horse... You don't have to laugh to be nice, all right? Anyway, watch this. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, there's something. I want you to see this. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Because when you get soldiers out on the battlefield, they're not supposed to be nice. When somebody's eyes are as a flame of fire, they're mean. And they got fire in their eyes and their anger. And they got the zeal of the Lord in them. And they're ready to go conquer. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon... Now, when you look at that, look at verse 14. The armies which were in heaven, were they in front of him on the white horse or behind him on the white horse? Get some wisdom in that. Get some knowledge in that. God does not send us out and say, now go get all my enemies now so that because I can't be hurt now. Go get them, go get them. That's not what he does. Whenever you said, there came a time in David's life where David's mighty men took David aside and said, David, look, we can't have the light of Israel going out. We know that David always led his armies first in line. Always did. And there came a time when his mighty men pulled him aside and said, David, trust us. I know you want to get out there and get all bloodied and kill all the enemies and the Philistines and everything like that. We cannot afford to have the light of Israel go out. So you stay here in the back and let us go fight the war. And those men are memorialized forever in your Bible as David's mighty men. They were not willing for their captain to go out and be killed in battle because they said, he is the light of our people. We need him. But I'll tell you what was in David's heart. They had to literally grab him and pull him back and say, David, get behind us. Get behind us. But in David's case and in Jesus' case, the armies, which I believe is us, I believe at this time now we've been sanctified. We've been made into those spirit bodies. We are the heavenly host. We are the mighty armor of God. And I've never ridden a horse a day in my life. And I don't think I'll need to learn once I get on this one. Amen. But the captain that I serve does not send me out first to see if it's okay. He himself leads the charge. Let me tell you a little bit about Memorial Day and the kind of men that we honor on this day. The kind of men that we honor are the ones who landed on a grenade to protect their fellow soldiers.
Amen.
They jump first. The kind of men that we're honoring were the first ones into the building, not knowing where the enemy was. The kind of men that we're honoring are the ones who were flying in the squadron and was able to take on the enemy, even though the shots were coming from all directions. They weren't hiding in the background waiting to see how it was going to go. They were right there in front. And see, let me tell you what has to happen in a man's mind in order to do that. When a man is going to take the lead and go out first, he has already reconciled in his mind that he's dead already. Am I right? In order for somebody to say, guys, fall in behind me, here we go, that man in his mind has already surrendered to death. If he makes it through, it is just by the grace of God. But he has already surrendered himself. Now you listen to me. In Hebrews chapter 10, we find Jesus voluntarily coming down saying, Lord, I've come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He came down already surrendering in his mind that from the moment he was born, 33 years later, he is going to die on the front line of the battlefield. He has already had it in his mind that that's how it's going to be. These are the kind of people that we need in this country that never came back. Y'all remember Buster Montgomery? Brother Alvin Montgomery used to sit here in this church, stand up. He interrupted my preaching one time. He just got so full of emotion, he stood up and he said, I just want to say I love this church. I love you people. That was one of the most blessed men I ever met in my life. You know what he did? 17 years old, they bombed Pearl Harbor. He went to the recruiting office, lied about his age, made them think he was 18. I think at the time, they probably didn't check. Because FDR had already said, we are now at war with Japan. We're now at war with Germany. And I don't think any of the recruiting offices ever actually took the time to check to see if these boys really were 18 or not. They just signed them up. 17 years old, he didn't wait for the draft. He went out there and he said, those were my men, those were my countrymen, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do whatever it takes to revenge their death. They are not coming to my land. And he volunteered. And he went out and he told me, Mike, he said, I used to sit in that little bunk there in that submarine out in the Pacific Ocean. Mines going off all around that submarine. He said, any second now, you have already told yourself in your mind, this is it right here. You're fixing to die. This is it right here. He said, one of the biggest memories, he had two big memories going to Pearl Harbor. The first one was he went through his training. They flew him over to Pearl Harbor. He got off the plane, put his stuff down. They put a suit and a mask on him and had him digging bodies out of those boats there in Pearl Harbor. 17-year-old kid dragging dead bodies that had been in there for who knows how long so they could be shipped back home, identified and sent back home. Then they put him on a submarine. And he said, Mike, he said, I'll never forget it. He said, I did my tour on this sub. We come off for a little shore leave there back at Pearl. We helped the other crew get back on. And he said, that sub went out, never came back. He said, that could have just as easily been me. Okay? And I'm listening to this man. And I'm just going, you deserve some honor. Amen?
Amen.
You deserve some honor for being willing to do that. Those that went out and never came back, they deserve the honor. That's why this man right here deserves our honor and our praise. Because he didn't wait to the back of the line to show up. He went out in front. Verse 14 again. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, he's fought the battle, and he's going to fight it again. He's going to put down all of his enemies. And he always leads the charge. Somebody say amen. Now, take your Bibles. Turn to... Lord, where do you want me to go next? How about go to Judges chapter 16? Judges chapter 16. I said Romans 5 earlier, but I don't think I'm going to get there. Judges chapter 16. Here we have a man by the name of Samson. Samson was a mighty warrior, was he not? Samson was big and burly and husky. But let me tell you where Samson's strength come in. Y'all know the story, right? He was a Nazarite from birth, and which means no razor had come to his head. Okay, and just figure, he looked like ZZ Top on steroids. Amen. Just woolly, nasty looking guy. All right. So he's got this hair, and the Bible says he's got him in seven locks. He's taking his hair now and put him like in little seven little braids coming out of his head. You know what that is? That is a picture of Christ in Revelation chapter 5, who is the Lamb with seven horns, and those seven horns are the seven spirits of God. He had the power of Almighty God in him, represented by those seven locks in his hair. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he wasn't afraid of anybody. But, just like many of us, he has his weakness. Amen? He has his weakness. And he was brought down. But he didn't give up, even in his weakness. He was alive, and he said, I'm going to get these Philistines. They put his eyes out, and he said, I'm going to revenge my eyes. I'm going to get these guys. Now, let's see here. I told you, Judges chapter 16, right? Yeah. And so, look at, let's see here. Let's pick it up in verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport and set them between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house, watch this, verse 27, the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And I want to tell you something, I just like this, I like it. Samson, his mind's working, and his hair's growing back, so he's getting that spirit back in him. And he's thinking to himself, if all the lords of the Philistines are here, and all the Philistines are here, if all the enemies are gathered together in this one place, what better way, or what better chance do I have to finally make a destruction of my enemies while they're all in one place? God, you made it too easy for me. You look at this now. The house was full of men and women. Verse 27, all the lords of the Philistines were there, for there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. 3,000. You know what the number 3 is? Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's your enemy. That's death. Amen? Those things will bring death to you. Now watch this. Samson called, verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once to avenge the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, on the other with his left. Nowadays, it would be the Corps of Engineers finding out what pillars were holding up the whole thing, and that's where they would say, now you need to sneak in there and plant these C4 charges on this pillar here, on this pillar here, and have the detonator. And if you think that you're going to get caught with that thing, the best thing in the world for you to do is push the button. Did you know that American warfare is full of stories of men just like that, who didn't have to be prodded or pushed or threatened to take the detonator in their hand and plant the charges? They said, "I'll do it. I'll do it. Even if it costs my death." There's little boys and girls back home that I want to make sure that they remain free. And if this can do it, I'll do it. See, this is what this is all about. These are the people we're remembering this weekend. Amen? Fully on the gay and lesbians trying to take this nonsense over. It ain't about them. Amen. I ain't waving no rainbow flag. Amen. This is about those who volunteered, took the explosives in their hands and said, "We may not come back, but we're going to do this thing." The men that signed the Declaration of Independence did so knowing that once their name went on that paper, they had declared war against King George. Amen. Knowing that when the British found out about it, they may in all likelihood lose their merchant houses, lose their plantations, and may in fact lose their life. Several of them did, because they went and hunted down those who put their name to that piece of paper, the Declaration of Independence. John Hancock. You know who that is? Okay? Lied about his name. Put John Hancock on there. No, that's not who he was. You know why when you look at the Declaration, you know why you see that written out so big there? John Hancock, they put the pen in his hand, and he wrote it as big as he could. John Hancock. And they said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "King George has to wear glasses to read stuff. I want King George to be able to see my name without his glasses. I want him to know that I intend for my family and my posterity and my country, I intend with everything that I have to make this a free land." Amen. And he signed his death warrant big enough so that King George could read it without even needing his glasses. It's hard to find people like that in America nowadays.
Yeah. Amen.
What we want is someone else to yield and give to us. You see what I'm saying? It is a special kind of person who will step forward and who will say, "Not on my watch. If I have to give my life, then so be it. And I'll do it." I believe that America is still a nation worth fighting for. Amen. Why? Because I get to do this here. Amen. But the enemies of this are marching ever closer, ever closer. Who will stand up and take the lead? Who will stand up even at the expense of their own reputation, their own life, their own wealth? Who do we have nowadays who will stand up like Jesus and go first? Stand up like Samson, knowing that he's got all the enemies, the guys he's been trying to get to for years now, knowing that they're all gathered together in one place and they don't think much of him. They don't think he's a harm to them now. They put his eyes out, cut his hair off, and he's just as weak as everybody else. They don't know our God. Okay? Now there's something here I want you to look at. Verse 30. Look at what Samson said. "Let me die with the Philistines." Samson never received the blessing of killing his enemies after he killed them. He didn't get the parade. He didn't get the key to the city. He didn't get the big medal. He didn't get everybody cheering him on for bringing the victory. But that's not what he cared about. God put it in his heart to give of himself for people who couldn't. God had blessed Samson. God has blessed us. You've got power like Samson right here in your hand, and you don't even know it half the time. "Let me die with the Philistines." bowed himself with all his might. See this? See what I'm doing right here? This is what Samson did. See that? What does that look like to you?
Jesus
Christ. Bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. Watch this. Look at this. So the dead, which he slew at his death, were more than they which he slew in his life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Man, I like that. Honor men like Samson. Honor men that have died for our country. Honor these people. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 10. Turn there. I think it'd be neat somebody who really knew how to do this make a big comic book called Bible War Stories. I'd buy it. Amen. Bible War Stories. David's mighty men. People like that. By the way, I'll give you... I haven't preached this in a long time. Reg Kelly, first time I ever heard him preach this message, and bless my heart. There's a list of 31 men that were David's mighty men. Okay? One time they were fighting the battle. David and all of his men were fighting the battle. And David, boy, I mean, he was in a hole. They had him trapped in. David was very weary and David was very weak. And David cried out, "Oh, if I had just a drink from the waters of the well of Bethlehem." And you know what? Three guys stood up and said, "Our captain's thirsty." And those three men, David's mighty men, the Philistines owned Bethlehem. They were all over Bethlehem. They had guards everywhere. And these three men went in, walked right up to the well with the Philistines standing there watching them because they knew who they were. They were David's mighty men. They knew that one of those guys had killed 800 Philistines in one time. That man that his hand was wearing, his hand was clave to the sword, he was in there with them. Can't remember their names, but he was with them. And those three guys walked in at peril of their life. And they said, "Get back! Get back! You get back! I'll kill you like I killed your brother. Our shepherd, our king, needs a drink of water from his hometown, from his wells. You're not going to stop us." And those three men pulled up jugs of water out of that well, and those Philistines were gone. He said, "You get back now, I'll kill you, I'll cut your head off." And they went and took that water to David. Said, "David, here you go. Here's the cool water from the wells of Bethlehem. David, we know you're thirsty." You want to talk about a leader? You know what David did? Poured the water out on the ground and he said, "Is not this the blood of the men who were willing to go and get me this water?" He didn't think he was any better than anybody that served him. See, that's the kind of guys we don't mind following. These goofy politicians want to get to impress us with their words and their promises. It means nothing. Give us a man. Give us a man that doesn't think he's better than everybody else. Give us a man that has gone out and fought for his country. Give us a man that's going to stand for what our Constitution is and what this Bible is. I'll follow him to the grave.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 10. This is where Joshua got... Joshua had so much zeal in him. Joshua chapter 10 is where as the sun was going down, Joshua, it made Joshua mad because the sun was going down and he was really whipping him. And that sun was going down. He said, I ain't going to have this. And he said, I ain't going to stop until I get them all. And so he commanded the sun to stop moving. And the moon stopped moving. Until Joshua was going to get everybody that he wanted to get until that war was over. But they had captured the five kings and they put them in a cave and they was going to hold them there. And when the war was over and the battle was over, Joshua and his guys came back and he said in verse 22, "Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." Now I want you to look at verse 24. You listen to this. It came to pass. And they brought out those kings, and you see, there's five of them. Let me tell you what that number is. Death. It's your enemy, death. The first five books of the Bible are the Pentateuch, Moses' law. Paul calls it the law of sin and death. The commandments do give you life. You break the commandments, therefore you have death. So here's these five kings represent death. Now watch how these kings were destroyed. It came to pass when they brought out these kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with them, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. I've played enough little war when I was a kid, okay, King of the Hill and stuff like that. And if you got your foot on some other kid's head, you win. Amen. Amen. There ain't a thing he can do. All you got to do is either put your foot on him or sit on his head. Okay? Usually sitting's a lot more fun. Amen? Okay? Boy, that really makes them mad for some reason. But anyway, got their feet on their necks. Now just remember what we just read out of 1 Corinthians 15. The Lord shall reign until he's put all of his enemies where? Under his feet. Then he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now you look at this. He says, verse 24, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Romans chapter 16 said, may the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Bring it on. Amen. I'm tired of the enemy. I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of death. Amen. You can, listen, God designed us to only take so much punishment and so much imprisonment until we got to do something to fight back. Amen. Even the weakest of us would say, I've had enough. Amen. And one of these days, God's going to allow, he's going to put Satan right here and says, step on his head, and I'm going to go, yeah. Amen. Bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He said, be strong and of good courage. God is going to do this thing for you. It was Joshua and Caleb that come back from the land of Canaan. And they said, oh man, these guys are huge. We're like grasshoppers. You ever see the walls they built? There's stones out there. I had no idea how they picked those up. These guys are huge. And God said, we could whip them. And if God said you could whip them, you can whip them. Amen. Amen. Soldiers going out doing things so that everybody else could remain free. Whew. Joshua said to them, fear not, nor to be dismayed, be strong and good courage. Thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Look at verse 26. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. See that? See that? You know, when they pierced Jesus, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right here. Pierced him 5 times. Look at that. Smote them, slew them, hung them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And how long did Jesus hang on the cross? And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, they took them down off the trees, cast them into a cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remained until this very day. They hadn't come back out yet. So here's this. I read that and I shouted and I wept. Now there's Christ right there who was smitten, hung on a tree. Colossians. Turn there. I'm done. You turn to Colossians and I'll quit. Not forever, but I'll stop today. Colossians. Mm-mm-mm. I had it right here under my finger. I can't remember where it was. Yeah, here we go. Look at verse 13. Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins, uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out, verse 14, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know what he did? He waited until all of his enemies came and jumped right on him. He made himself available. All the enemies that was against us, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, the stripes, the thorns, the punishment for our sins. Jesus took them all on him. And they said, oh, there's the Son of God right there. See, if we kill the Son of God, then we can have the inheritance. So they all gang-piled on Jesus. Everything that was against us. And Jesus is going, okay, good. Nail me to that cross. And they nailed him to the cross. All of a sudden, his enemies are going, we can't get off here. And Jesus said, it is finished. He bowed up his head, gave up the ghost. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And he took everything, threatened us, everything that threatened our marriages, everything that threatened our children, everything that had chains and bondage attached to it, he took all of those things, and in his death, he killed more of his enemies than he ever did in his life. That soldier deserves our honor, deserves our respect. Can I say amen?
Amen?
That soldier deserves that. We had guys go from their farms, go from their apartments in Brooklyn. We had guys that just volunteered and said, I'm going. After 9/11, the United States military didn't have to go recruiting. Guys just went and signed up and said, let me go. I'll go. I'll go. I don't know what the future is going to hold. But I still love America enough that even turning 50 years old, if I had to fight for my grandchildren's freedom, you better believe I would.
Amen.
You better believe I would. If they underestimate us and what our resolve is and what we're willing to do and what we're willing to sacrifice, if they underestimate that, then so be it. But when they come after this,
amen.
And I cannot share this with my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, then watch out.
Amen.
Let's stand.